liquidated or removed before the ownership's transferred. So typically what a banker or a lender will do will be require that the assessment be paid off before the loan can be made. And there are a number of ways to accomplish that, but that's typically what happens with transfer property.
What about somebody that hasn't even been assessed yet? I mean, somebody is there and they say, the sewer's coming. They put up the for sale sign and somebody rides in from Baker on a pumpkin wagon and gets off and says, gee, this is the lowest priced house in the area. And it looks so much better than the ones down the street. But the messy driveways, it looks, you know, like somebody's plowed up their front yard. And so they buy that one, and then they no sooner get moved in, and then they get greetings from the city saying, pay this money or go to jail or whatever.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that Oregon law requires real estate agents to disclose anything that like that, and I believe that's basically happening in the area. Both, essentially now, all real estate agents, offices in the area, as well as lending institutions, are pretty aware of the sewer program.
Yeah, I think if it would be financed, that certainly would be an area for discussion.
I believe that a property owner, I don't know this and I'm not an attorney, but I believe that a property owner, especially because we're providing every property with a 5-year advance notice of when the sewer will come, any property owner who would attempt to sell without revealing that to a buyer would be risking a lawsuit.
Mr. Chair, just to follow up on that, the best way that we've accomplished that or tried to address that very issue is to make certain that title companies in the area understand what our implementation program looks like, when properties in the area may be expected to be connected to the sewer, so that when they are writing title insurance, they can make certain that they've checked all the particulars and that they can inform both the buyer and the seller of what may be happening down the road in terms of the sewer coming down the street.
Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, I was just wondering, there's a letter passed out. Did they want to comment on this?
Yeah, maybe this would be the best time.
From Pete? Yeah. Mr. Chairman, my name is Brad Higby with the City of Portland's Office of Intergovernmental Affairs. Before you is a letter from Pete Casting, the Portland City Attorney's Office, who, along with 3 or 4 other City of Portland staff members, attended the last hearing in Portland. And toward the very end of the hearing, I think it was 11:05, a number of the citizens in attendance indicated on the record before the gavel finally went down that a number of Portland staff folks were actually in attendance and should respond, in their words, to the many allegations that were raised. And I think we all were happy to see the meeting come to an end at 11:05. The city attorney was a little nervous that perhaps that would be construed in the future as, although we were present in the room, our silence might be construed to be an admission of all the allegations. He had an interest in submitting this letter for the record to say that that should not be the construement of our actual silence. It was the fact that there were 4.5 hours of citizens speaking on a number of points that essentially filled up the evening's hearing. And we've had an opportunity to discuss some of the points with you this morning.
Yeah, I think this clarifies it, but I think at the beginning of the meeting it was pretty evident that you were given a short period of time to kind of set the stage, and then we were there to hear what they had to say on it. So I don't think that that we looked at those as being anything but people's opinions. And as a committee, the 2 or 3 of us that were there, we didn't want to get into a combative thing where we don't know the facts or anything. You can pretty much tell that there was these weren't new subjects to some people.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, let's get into the bills. And what I would like to see us do is act on the tax credit bills and decide what we're going to do with those and get them down to revenue, or I guess they go to revenue, and then let them work with them. Okay, which one? That'll be 2972.
2607.
And 2607, so we'll open the public hearing on those two bills. What does 2607 do?
Mr. Chair, these bills are very similar. I think that at the first hearing we held here in Salem on these bills, it was generally agreed by the committee members that we would pursue House Bill 2607 over House Bill 2972. House Bill 2607, the original printed bill, has somewhat broader implications than House Bill 2972. The original printed bill, House Bill 2607, would extend the existing state income tax credit program to include those individuals that did not have, otherwise have a tax liability that would require them to file a tax return. This is particularly applicable to more elderly citizens or other individuals whose sole income is a pension or Social Security, and therefore they do not have to file a state income tax return. This bill would allow them to file a return solely for the purpose of obtaining the refund of the tax credit for which they are eligible through participation in the sewer project. The second aspect of the bill would be to make the provisions of the income tax credit program retroactive to the tax year beginning January 1, 1985. As the law is worded now, it would apply beginning September 27, 1987, which would have been the effective date of the 1987 Act dealing with this subject. We do have a number of proposed amendments to the bill. If you'd like, before we proceed into the bill, I could discuss those that we have in written form so that you're aware of them. First of all, we have printed LC amendments, House Bill 2607-2. These are amendments that were drafted at the request of Representative Hostica, which seek to address the issue of including individuals in the Santa Clara River Road area north of Eugene under the tax credit program. It was the understanding of Eugene and its area legislators that a bill had been passed last session to accomplish this. The language of that bill has subsequently been interpreted by the Attorney General's Office to not have done that, and so the purpose of this language is to make it clear that those individuals would qualify for the tax credit program. That is basically done with the language at the top of page 2, lines 4 through 7, the new language, which relates to the fact that the sewers in that area are being constructed not by order of the Environmental Quality Commission, but through an intergovernmental agreement between the local governing bodies and the EQC.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stein.
John, I have something that's Hannah Gross's Blue 2 on it. Is that the Hannah Gross?
No, that's the next amendment I was going to. What happened was, until this morning, we had amendments labeled House Bill 2607-1, and we found a correction that needed to be made in those amendments at the last minute. And when we got those amendments back just before this meeting, they had labeled those 2607-2. So we're looking at the printed LC amendments right now.
Representative Wehage spotted a mistake or an omission, I believe.
Right. So that is the nature of that amendment. The hand-engrossed bill that is labeled at the top with a 2 with a circle on it, the amendment in that particular proposal is on line 30 on page 1 of the bill. This deals with an issue that Representative Wehage brought to our attention, and that is that there are going to be a very limited number of individuals in this area who live in the area now, may have paid an assessment on an existing home, and then may at some future date move to some other location within mid-Multnomah County, and because that area has not been sewered yet, be slapped with yet another assessment on their new residence. What this, the intent of this language is to allow those individuals in that particular situation to have access to the tax credit for a second time because they are paying a second assessment on an entirely different piece of property. And so this would allow them to again collect the tax credit if in fact they're paying an assessment on a second piece of property within the affected area. The
when it's owner occupied, right?
Right, that's right. When it's owner occupied.
One bite out of the apple.
There's two apples involved.
Yes.
Just one further explanation about that is that they would actually qualify for both credits right now if there is a time period of 5 years between when they moved. That is, if they installed a sewer in their existing residence, lived there 5 years, got $100 per year, and then moved into a home that again qualified, they would again get the second credit. Right now, if they move before that 5 years is up, they lose any part of that first credit that had not yet been used, because there's a limit of $100 per year. And so this wording would correct that problem.
Sure,
this is a very rare circumstance.
Is it your mother?
No, it's a constituent who actually came to me at a public meeting about 2 weeks ago to mention that.
An unrelated constituent.
Unrelated.
That $20 transfer fee we added this morning may kind of slow them down.
Yeah. The Hannon Gross bill labeled 3 is an amendment, and the first amendment is technically should be one line farther down than it is. It adds a new sub D under section 1, sub 1. The intent of this amendment is to make those individuals that are subject to a health hazard annexation eligible for the state tax credit program. This was an amendment that was put forth by Representative Oakley. The additional amendment on line 22 is simply a clarifying amendment indicating that the order in the case of a health hazard annexation comes from the Health Division and not the Environmental Quality Commission. But the intent of that sub D is to simply make those individuals eligible for the tax credit program. Those are the three amendments that we have in a printed form at this point in time.
Is there any interest in trying to bump the $500 before we send it to revenue? Or if we don't change that, do we have to, I assume it still has to go to revenue or ways and means?
Yes, it
or
does.
Probably revenue for the expanded tax credits. But to me, the other night, one of the things that came out is that while people appreciate this, it's not a substantial help to those people that have to go out and hook up.
Mr. Chairman, I would certainly support that proposed amendment. I think the reason I hadn't proposed it before was my newness to the process down here and my concern that this might have put a lot of excess baggage on the bill and that people may oppose it for that reason. But I would like to have it considered with the understanding that should revenue decide that is excessive, that they wouldn't just drop the entire bill.
Yeah, I'm sure that they'll address the tax credit issue both in terms of the amount of the tax credit and the expansion of it to other areas. And I think it'd be good to be there and say that the increasing it overall is not the main thrust. It's to broaden it to as many people as possible. But while they're looking at that, that an increase would be hopefully something that they could be looked at. Because this kind of came up at the end of the session. I mean, there was a bill last session, and then this didn't get a lot of committee look-see at it. We had talked about various things, and I think this came out in that bill of Representative McCarty's that, like, virtually on the last day of the session, there were everybody wanted to make some accommodations for the sewers out there and the problem people were having. But I think the $500 figure was just saying, well, anything less than that is virtually doing nothing. And so I don't think there was that the revenue committee ever looked at the impacts of it in a thorough way.
Mr. Chairman, it's interesting that that amount would certainly move it closer to the concept of the pollution tax credit that exists now in the state for industry. which I think it's currently set at 25%. Considering that the average cost is in the $5,000 to $6,000 range, I would get it closer to around 20% of the total cost.
Yeah, and as was pointed out the other night, we're looking at maybe giving people $500 for replacing a non-efficient wood stove with a more efficient one as far as air quality. And this is certainly every bit as important. And for most people, this is, and there's no way you can escape this, and a wood stove is, for most people, is kind of an optional thing that is certainly, for most people, not a necessity. Okay, what do you want to, why don't we move into work session on 2607 and see what happens. We'll close the public hearing and move into work session on 2607.
Would you entertain a motion for individual amendments, or do you want all the amendments at once?
I think we could move them all at once without any problem. And if somebody has, does anybody have a want to discuss one of them individually?
I should probably declare a conflict of interest because I live in one of the districts that would be affected.
I wondered why that slipped in there. Same way of representing WEA.
Well, just for the record, Mr. Chairman, I would receive absolutely no benefit from this, since...
Well, I'm disappointed.
You don't think some people will vote for you because you're voting for this bill?
Maybe we could amend the bill so we could get in on it.
Let me say financial benefit.
Oh, I see.
we'll
note your potential.
I would like to...
Representative Oakley. But do what's right for your neighbors.
Yeah.
While you're thinking about it.
I'd like to address this question to Representative Oakley. I did ask about the potential cost for the hand-engrossed Amendment 3, whether she was able to contact Revenue and ask him about
it. I talked to Dick Yates, and he said there would be no fiscal impact during the next biennium, and that during the following biennium, it would be under $75,000 for the biennium, so under $40,000 a year.
Cheap.
Another quick answer. You got
If we went with the $500.
Yeah.
Chair, do you prefer the 1,000?
I would like to send it down at 1,000 because I think this committee has looked at the problem out there, and I certainly feel that if we could do a little more, that we should look at that. And I think we should tell the Revenue Committee that we'd like them to do the best job they can on it.
Let me make a motion, Mr. Chairman. I would move amendments labeled LC 2681, HB 2607-2, dated 4/18/89, hand-engrossed amendment labeled number 2, hand-engrossed amendment number 3, and amendment, which I'll refer to as amendment 4, which would increase the amount of the accredit from $500 to $1,000.
Okay, does everyone understand that? What we're doing is moving the dash 2, the hand engrossed 2, the hand engrossed 3, and increasing from $500 to $1,000 the upper end of the tax credit. Is there any objection to the amendments? If not, they're accepted.
Mr. Chairman, I would move House Bill 2607 as amended to with a referral to Revenue with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Wehage moves House Bill 2607 as amended to the Revenue Committee with a due pass recommendation. Any further discussion? Edward?
Representative Cease, Representative Hostica, Representative Oakley?
Aye.
Representative Stein?
Aye.
Representative Wehage?
Aye.
Representative Markham?
No.
Representative Young?
Aye. And I think Representative Markham can kind of pass on to the Revenue Committee our strong feelings for the $1,000.
But I voted no, Mr.
Yeah, but you always do. We're not going to take that as a reflection of how you actually feel on the bill.
I can hardly wait for my constituents to help pick up.
Okay, which one do you want to...
Well, Mr. Chair, we have two bills for which Representative Wehage has prepared amendments. I would defer to him as to which one he would like to take up first.
Mr. Chair, I would suggest we take House Bill 2968 first.
Okay, we'll open public hearing on House Bill 2968.
Mr. Chair, this particular bill would provide for those in the affected project area to apply for, actually the bill itself would allow them to elect for a delay in connection to the treatment works for a maximum of 10 years. And in so electing, they would also be able to defer any cost of that particular connection, any assessment or fee that's associated with that. I am proposing an amendment to this particular measure, and I believe it's in all of your hands. It's labeled 2968-2 LC2544, and the amendment has the effect of, well, let me just read this to you, since that's the best way to approach this. It would insert at the end of the existing wording the following. If a request for connection deferral is initially denied by staff overseeing the project, the Citizens Sewer Advisory Committee, created under ORS 454.370, shall review the request to delay connection under subsection 1 of this section and provide its recommendation to the governing body empowered to make the final decision. The governing body shall consider the Citizens Sewer Advisory Committee's recommendation in making its final decision. There is one other provision of my amendment, and that is to change the makeup of the Citizens Sewer Advisory Committee. Currently, the wording, as appears in the amendment on lines 19 through 24, says that the members of each Citizens Sewer Advisory Committee shall represent a cross-section of businesses, homeowners, and renters in the affected area and others affected by the order. At least two-thirds of the members shall reside or do business within the affected area. At least one-third of the members shall be persons eligible for financial relief under the safety net plan provided for in ORS 454.365. This amendment changes the one-third requirement for essentially low-income people affected by the order to require only one person on the committee to qualify for financial relief. And the reason for that last change is because I've been told by the City of Portland and City of Gresham representatives that they're having a very difficult time finding eligible people to serve on the committee. I believe that with these changes adding additional authority or opportunity for committee members to have a greater say in what goes on in the project, that it should be easier to find people who have a keener interest in this, but this change would further encourage each city to find those people eligible to serve on the committee and thus have a full committee, full functioning committee. I would further explain that the reason I'm recommending this change in the amendment is because of testimony that I did here last week in Portland, which shows a very high level of frustration on the part of the citizens in that area. And the intent is to bring greater citizen involvement into the decision-making process. I do have a concern. I don't intend to allow just anybody to come in and ask for a deferral on a whim. I think there should be good reasons for asking for a deferral. And the intent here by putting the Citizens Sewer Advisory Committee involved in the review process is to make sure that citizen input is involved in granting those decisions. The understanding is that if such a deferral is granted, it could incrementally increase the cost for those who do not defer because of the fact that part of the cost would be deferred, unpaid, and higher payments for bonds, those sorts of things, then would be paid by those people who are hooking up right away. The testimony did indicate, though, that there were unforeseen reasons, valid reasons, for asking for a deferral. One example was a business that was in the process of closing out one building. They were actually going to tear it down within a year or so after the order came through, and they asked that they not be ordered to hook up because they were going to tear down their building. I think other cases might arise, special family situations possibly, where a member of the household maybe has a terminal illness and they simply don't want to be bothered with putting a sewer in at that particular time, where it would be more appropriate to come back in a year or two and hook up the sewer after the death has occurred. And I think that it's difficult to anticipate those reasons, and therefore we ought to have the Citizen Advisory Committee looking at those and making judgment calls. So that's the reason for this amendment. I would just offer it for your approval.
Chair.
Representative Markham.
Reading this bill in Section 2, an owner of real property may elect a delay. What if they all took that election? Where the hell are we? I mean, somebody has to pay for the project. I don't understand this.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding, according to what I've been told by the City of Portland and the City of Gresham people, is that that opportunity does exist now, and usually it's applied to the people apply to the staff for approval to get a deferral. And I was also told that about 95% of those deferral requests are being granted. 5% are not. It would be those 5% that would be referred to the Citizen Sewer Advisory Committee for further review before it goes on to the local governing body for a final decision. In the case of Gresham, it is the City Council that makes a final decision for any appeals. In the case of Portland, there's a special committee of three that was set up to review those final appeals. The Citizen Sewer Advisory Committee would simply be one more step in this process between the staff decision and the governing body's decision, the final decision. It is advisory. They do not have approval right. But I understand again that in making that decision, it can be a negative for the people who do go ahead and hook on. So I don't think the Sewer Advisory Committee would agree to just random approvals. There has to be a valid reason for it, because it is a negative for those people that do hook up if other people do not hook up.
I have no trouble at all with your amendment. What I'm trying to figure out is, what if the 95% of the people said, well, we're satisfied with our septic service, who's going to pay for that sewer system?
Mr. Chair,
Representative Stein.
I think what Representative Markham is referring to is the original bill gives the owner the absolute right to elect out, and yet your amendments refer to some kind of process where they have to go before a board. The bill is drafted right now. Sounds like you can just get out anytime you want. So if you want to go with this other process, you got to delete that part.
2968.
Am I not correct?
Why don't we get Gresham and Portland back up here again? We're going to have them comment on the bill anyway.
John. Where's the amendment? He's speaking to
it. I would thank you, Mr. Chairman. Brad Higbee with the City of Portland.
Could we kind of hold up here until we get the amendments, please, Mr. Chair?
Sir.
Now, currently, people don't have a right to delay the assessment?
Actually, Mr. Chairman, they do in two instances. The first is, as you've heard in earlier testimony and earlier meetings, under the safety net program, those eligible have the authority to defer actual connection and thereby avoid connection-related costs. And the second category are those that are currently taken care of in both, I believe, the City of Gresham and the City of Portland in the same manner. is that there are particular and specific requests by individual property owners for deferrals of their connections. And there is a process to take care of that now, a fairly elaborate process, if I might say so, too.
Is that by ordinance, or?
I believe it has been formally adopted by City Council by ordinance, but it was developed by staff working with the Citizen Sewer Advisory Board, which we've had in place for the last 2 years, to develop this process to allow for some of the exigencies of the of the development of the sewer project. Currently, if a homeowner wishes to apply for a deferral, he or she applies to the city. The staff makes an initial review and a recommendation. I believe the figures are, for the last 2 years, there have been 240 requests for deferrals. Of that amount, 200 have been granted, and they range from 1 year to 5 years, and there's a five-year maximum, at which time they would reapply, and the circumstances would be reevaluated to see if it was necessary once again to do so. If, however, in those 40 instances, the staff recommendation is to deny deferral, there is an appeals board currently in place that is comprised of head of the Environmental Services Bureau, the city attorney, and a member of our Citizen Sewer Advisory Board. And all three have the authority to vote on recommendations by staff on requests for deferrals. Currently, the Citizen Advisory Board member that sits on the appeals board is the chairman of the Citizen Sewer Advisory Board, who